Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvina Patitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
We're on verse 215, chapter 7, 215. Trishidhamasi yad bhogyam,
bhokta bhogascha yad bhavet, bhokta bhogascha yad bhavet, tebhyo vilakshanas sakshi, Chinmatroham Sadashivah.
Trishu Dhamasu Yet Bhogyam Bhokta Bhogahacha Yad Yet Bhavet Tebhyah Vilakshanah Sakshi Chin Matraha Aham Sadashivaha. Okay, we're still in the middle of Anvaya Vyatireka, working on the Anvaya Vyatireka. Anvaya Vyatireka is a logic, a prakriya, that's really applied to help you differentiate the nature of the self from your experiences. And the Anvaya Vyatireka is usually often applied, it can be applied whenever there's any type of subject-object relationship, actually. But it's often used to differentiate the sakshi, the witness, from the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. Because the waking state, dream state, and deep sleep state all negate each other. And in the waking and the dream state, not the deep sleep, but in the waking state and the dream state, there is the trinity of the bhoga, the bhokta, which is in the enjoyer, the bhogya, the thing enjoyed, and the bhoga, the enjoyment, you know. There's the enjoyer, and the enjoyed, and the enjoyment, right? Now, all three of these will be part of the waking state. And all three, the enjoyer, the enjoyed, and the enjoyment, are part of the dream state, right? But the dream state negates the waking state. And when the waking state is negated, the enjoyer, all three are negated. Right? If the waking state is negated, the enjoyer, the enjoyment, the enjoyed, and the enjoyment are negated. They belong to the waking state. And similarly, when the dream state, within the dream state, if you've taken a form in the dream state, there's the enjoyer, the enjoyed, and the enjoyment in the dream state. And so the one will negate the other. And of course, in the deep sleep state, there is, this trinity is not there. There is, in the deep sleep state, there is no enjoyer, enjoyment, or enjoyed, object of enjoyment. So that trinity doesn't even exist in the deep sleep state. So now, why is this significant? Well, it's significant because I can say on myself, as the sakshi, as the witness, I am the self of the waker in the waking state. But I am also the self of the dreamer in the dream state. And I am also the self of the deep sleep state. I am the one who slept. I am the one who dreamt. I am the one who was the waker. And yet everything that I identify with as being myself is negated in these three states, right? The dream state negates the waking. The deep sleep negates both the dream and the waking. The waking negates the dream. The dream negates the waking. And yet I am the self of all three. And now, not only that, the most telling thing here is in the waking state and dream state, I identify my being, myself, as the character that is there in the waking state. Just like in the dream state, I identify myself as being the character who is there in the dream state, the enjoyer, the bhokta. And this whole section, Vidyaranya's section here, is to really analyze the nature, the truth of the bhokta. Who is really the enjoyer? Because we have an enjoyer, enjoyment, enjoyed in the waking, enjoyer, enjoyed, enjoyment in the dream, and all resolved in the deep sleep. So if I say, I am the waker, but the enjoyer waker is negated by the enjoyer dreamer. See that? So who am I then? Because I'm the self, and I am the waker and I am the dreamer. But who I had taken myself to be in each one of these states is negated by the other. And yet I have no question, no doubt, that I am the waker and I am the dreamer and I am the deep sleeper. And so we use Anvaya Vyatireka, this logic, to logically show that I cannot be the bhokta, bhogya, or bhoga in any of these states. It means I can't logically be the enjoyer, the enjoyment, or the enjoyed in any of these states. We're really focusing on the enjoyer here. And what is the anvaya? This is the logic. When this is, that is. If this is there, then that is there. When this is, that is. That's the anvaya. The vyatireka is, when this is not, that is not. If both sides hold, when this is, that is, and when this is not, that is not, then there is a relation. Then there's a relationship. So, for instance, the example they use, when the day is, when the sun is, the day is. When the sun is up, the day is. But I would have to say that when the sun is up, the day is. When the sun is down, the day is not. That's the Vyatireka. So if the anvaya is there and the positive assertion and the negative is there, then I can say there's a relationship between sun and day. But if it happened to be that the sun, when the sun is, the day is, and when the sun is gone, this day still is, right? If that were the case, then what would I have to say? That the day has no relationship to the sun, because when the sun is gone, the day still is. So similarly, in this situation, in the anvaya vyatireka, I would be able to say, when the waking state is, I am. That's the anvaya. But then I should be able to say, when the waking state is not, I am not. That would be the vyatireka. But that isn't the case. The case is, when the waking state is, I am. When the waking state is not, replaced by the dream, I still am. So now I have to remove anything that I've identified myself with in the waking state as being me. Because those experiences, which have to do with the waker, the waking one in the waking state, the bhokta, the enjoyer, and the enjoyment, right? And the enjoyed, the whole seer, seen, enjoyer, enjoyed duality. All of that has to be negated because those things don't continue on in the dream state. And none of them also continue in the deep sleep state, and yet I am the self of all three. And so now I have to see this, and the one that's the self in all three, that's called the one who has the anuvritti. Anuvritti means who continues. What about me continues? Well, who is left? Who is the one? Who is left over? That's me, the one that is left over. Anything that can be negated or any experience that I can be without, that's not me. Because if I can be without it, then how can it be me? Even just in terms of experience, even in terms of perception, you know, or image, or emotion. If it is me, then as long as it is, I am, if it goes away, I go away. So this is it's a wonderful piece of logic, you know, that I can apply to my own experience. And I was sitting, we were doing this in a different way in the meditation now. As I just relax and I don't try to change any of my experience. All of the experiences, the sensations, the perceptions, they're all the emotions, the moods, the thoughts. All are in flux, even bodily sensations. All are coming and going and changing and changing and changing. But I remain as the self of each one of those experiences. I am the one who is present to each one of those experiences. So I can say, when the thought is, I am. When the thought is not, I still am. When the emotion is, I am. When the emotion is not, I still am. When the physical sensation is, I am. When the physical sensation is not, I still am. Right? That's the anvaya with the vyatireka that is negated. The vyatireka doesn't work. If the vyatireka doesn't work, then there's not a relationship between myself and the experience. For the to identify myself, I have to say, when I am, you know, when this is, I am. When this is not, I am not. Because the self is changeless, you can never get to you can never get to that when this is not, I am not, right? In terms of the self. Like when consciousness is not, so let's look at a little trap here. I is the conscious. When the conscious being is, I am, right? When the conscious being is not, I am not. But there is no conscious being. There is no way to get rid of the conscious being. So existence, when existence is, I am. When existence is not, right? I am not. But we can't get rid of existence. So you get down to the kind of the bottom line. We can get rid of knowership. Right? Because in the deep sleep state, there is no knower. When we think of a knower, you need a subject-object relationship. Knower-known. Right? For there to be a knower, there has to be something known. In the deep sleep state, there's no knower-known duality there. And the knower-known duality that takes place in the dream state, in the waking state, is negated by the knower-known duality that takes place in the dream state. And the deep sleep state, there is no knower-known duality. And so, is consciousness a knower? Say no. Consciousness can't be a knower. For consciousness to be a knower, it requires an upadhi. It requires an upadhi, a conditioning agent, like the mind or the sense organs. But the mind and the sense organs belong to the creation, and the mind and the sense organs are objects of awareness that come and go. Right? So duality, knower known duality, belongs to the creation, not to the consciousness that lights it up. And so when we sit relaxing, just letting myself recognize the stability of my own being, it's nice for the mind to ask, am I this conscious being that's illumining all of these experiences and vrittis, all these thought modifications? Am I a knower? And let the mind reflect on that. Because the self is aparoksha, the self is not away from the mind, and so the mind can talk about the nature of the self, it can recognize it, it can differentiate it from itself, because the self is always shining, right? The self is aparoksha to the mind. It's self-evident to the mind. And so the mind recognizes itself as being objectified, right? All of the names and forms being objectified, but it also recognizes its own truth, the conscious being, as being not objectifiable, but being self-evident consciousness. Right? And so now the mind can ask, well, what is this self-evident consciousness me like? And then it can say, am I the conscious being knowing anything, performing an act of knowing? Even though I am consciousness and I'm self-luminous, I'm existence itself, being itself, am I a knower that I know this and then I know this and I don't know this and I'm looking in this one, looking in this direction? Am I performing any type of activity of knowing? Say no. The mind asking this will say, no, I just am. I just am. I am conscious being. I am not doing anything because everything is lit up by me, but I am not doing anything. I simply am. And that the mind can recognize. And once it recognizes that, then when don't you recognize that? It is you. You're never not there. It doesn't matter. what the emotion is, what the thought is, what the feeling is. When the emotion is I am, when the emotion is gone, I still am. When this emotion is there, I am. When this emotion is replaced by another emotion, I still am. When this perception is there, I am. When this perception is replaced by another perception, I still am, and I'm the one there in between. And what am I doing? Am I knowing the perceptions? No. But because of me, all of the perceptions are known. If I said I am knowing the perceptions as though I'm doing an act to know them, no. But all of them enjoy consciousness as their self. But consciousness, me, is not doing anything. So try to recognize that fact. Instead of thinking of yourself as a knower, the instant you think of yourself as a knower, you are like a dream character in the dream, or the waker walking around in the waking state. In fact, your sense, your body is known, your sense organs are known, your thoughts are known, your emotions are known. All of these changing are taking place in what? In pure conscious knowledge. That's not doing anything. So the Anvayavyatireka is one of the teaching methodologies with this used, usually in reference to waking, dream, and deep sleep, to help you hone in on this recognition. It's honing in on a recognition of an actuality, of what is actually there. And so in this verse, he says, after having done so many verses on the Anvayavyatireka, he capsulizes it. Trishu Dhammasu. In these three sthanas, in these three states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep, these are the three dhammas, the three states. Yad bogyam, that which is an object of enjoyment. Bhokta, the enjoyer. And bhogaha, the enjoyment. So in these three states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep, the enjoyer, that which is the enjoyer, that which is in the object of enjoyment, and that which is the enjoyment itself, that which is there, those things, the sakshi, the witness, is different from tebyaha, from those things, from those three things, from those three states, which in which there is the enjoyer, the enjoyed, and the enjoyment. The sakshi, the conscious being, is vilakshanaha, is different, tebyaha, from them. What is that sakshi? Who is left? Who is left? The sakshi is chinmatra aham sadashivaha. The sakshi is I, that is chinmatra, simply consciousness, pure consciousness. Chinmatra means chit, consciousness, matra. It is only consciousness, pure consciousness. So I am that pure consciousness, which is Sadashivaha. Sadashivaha means it's a name in India. In fact, a common name. I'm trying to figure out what I did. You know what? I left it on the kitchen, in the kitchen. In fact, we know somebody named Sadashiva in India.
Oh, yeah. He lived next to me.
because in India, they often are always naming you're always named after either a name of the Lord or a qual. No, not that one. Isn't there a
Abhuka?
Yeah. You're always named after the Lord or the goddess. Or a quality like vidya, knowledge, you know, or shanti, peace, or purna, fullness.
Chaitanya.
Chaitanya, consciousness. You know, so these are the kind of names that are given. So there are Sadashiva is also a common name. But it means, Shivaha means not Lord, it means Lord Shiva, but it also means that which is auspicious. And Sada means always. Sadashivaha is that I am pure that pure being, pure consciousness, which is always auspicious, always ananda, always full, always whole, always complete, always auspicious. So aham chinmatraha, I am the pure consciousness whose nature is always auspicious, always ananda. So, when we were doing the meditation, when I say, you know, just have the mind ask, what am I like? What is my nature? I am me, this conscious being. This conscious being and all of the different religions of the world will name this conscious being, my own presence, the beloved. Here, Sadashivaha, that which is most auspicious, that which is the beloved, that which is ananda, fullness, wholeness. Now the question is, this is where this becomes important, because we're using words. And these words like Sadashiva, that which is always Shiva, that which is always auspicious, or ananda, sometimes translated as bliss in English. We use these words, the beloved, and these words only have relative meanings. Like I have a word, ananda means bliss, and there could be more bliss and more bliss and more bliss, and then just a neutral, and there can be depression also. Right? So the word bliss is a word that is a word that is meant to land on experiences that we have in the world. It's meant to define experiences that we have in the world. So the word ananda, that's why we think ananda, bliss, or that's why Swamiji is always trying to look for another word like fullness or wholeness instead of ananda, because instead of bliss. Because bliss is a loaded word. We think of, you know, ecstasy or extreme joy or
starry.
All kinds of experiences we have that are associated with that. But the word ananda now is being used, or Sadashiva, is being used to label you. The one, the simple you, not the one that, not the spiritual one full of spiritual notions. Just that it's labeling the conscious being, the me. When you say me, that me that is present to all of these moods and emotions, that is present to the waking state, the dream state, the deep sleep state, that one stripped of samsara, stripped of duality, stripped of subject-object, but just my own presence, that me is ananda, that which is chinmatra, just pure consciousness, pure me. That me is Sadashiva. That is the one that we call ananda, or the one that we call the beloved, or the one that is portrayed with that simple smile, that half smile, like the smile of the Buddha, or the smile of Shiva, of the Murtis in the temple. In fact, one meditation Swamiji Sadananda, Swami Chinmayananda used to do also, is to, in meditation, to just allow yourself, your body, your face, to take on that half smile. To just sit with that very gentle half smile. And then recognize what it evokes. And you can even ask yourself, does that simple, gentle half smile of the Buddha or of the Shiva, the Murti, does it match the simplicity of me, the one who is present to all of these, to the samsara, to the creation, the one who's present in the waking and the dream and the deep sleep? Does that simple smile, is that expression something that might be an image for myself? Because that's what it's meant to be. That's exactly what it's meant to be, and that's where you can if you meditate on the Murti. Murti means the form of the deity. The temple is the Murti. It will just evoke that recognition of that presence. And so now that the task is in this teaching is to see it, to recognize it, not to try to reach it, but to recognize the reality of it. That Sadashiva, that I am that Sadashiva, that is just pure consciousness, that can be differentiated from the waking, dream, and deep sleep. Differentiated from what? In the waking, dream, and deep sleep, there's the bhokta, the enjoyer, the things enjoyed, Like here, I am the, look in this room, and it all does. I am the enjoyer. All of this that I'm perceiving through my sense organs and mind is the enjoy, the bhogya. I am the bhokta. All of this is the bhogya. All the objects of enjoyment, objects of perception, right? And then the bhoga is the enjoyment itself. It's the connection between the bhokta and the bhogya, the enjoyer and the enjoyed. So I have this trinity here in the waking state. I have this trinity in the dream state. And I have the absence of it in the deep sleep state. Yet I as the sakshi, I am the self of the waking, the dream, and the deep sleep. So this presence that is in each state abiding changelessly as all of the vrittis come and go is also the one who is there in all of the other states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep. And that one is what? Pure consciousness. Sat-chit. The conscious existence. We say existence because consciousness is. That the is of the consciousness is the sat. It's not that consciousness is not or consciousness is not existent. Consciousness is. So existence and consciousness are the same thing. It's not like there's existence and consciousness. Consciousness is. So consciousness and existence are one and the same thing. And it is only consciousness. But what is the affect, in a, so to speak? What is the nature of that sat, of that consciousness? It is ananda, sadashiva. So I am that pure consciousness which is ever auspicious. And I am vilakshanaha. I am different from the waking, dream, and deep sleep because they negate each other. So that right there is the that is arrived at through the anvayavyatireka. Okay? Let's do that next verse.
Evam vivecite tattve. Evam vivecite tattve. Vijnanamaya shadditaha. Vijnanamaya shadditaha. Chirabhaso vikariyaha. Chirabhaso vikariyaha. Bhoktritvam tasya shishyate. Bhoktritvam tasya shishyate. Evam vivecite tattve. Vijnanamaya shabditaha chirabhasaha vikari yaha bhoktritvam tasya shishyate.
Evam, in this manner, vivecite tattva, when the truth, the tattva, the reality, when the truth is differentiated, it's inquired into in this way, in the way that we've just been doing, anvayavyatireka, through the anvayavyatireka, when this truth is inquired into in this manner, evam, vijnanamaya shabhitaha chirabhasaha, the chirabhasa, the reflection of consciousness, which is called the vijnanamaya kosha, the vijnan, it's the buddhi, which is labeled shabhitaha, which we can call the buddhi, the vijnanamaya, that which consists of just knowership, okay, the vijnanamaya, that chirabhasa, which we know as the buddhi, as the vijnanamaya, which is mainly just the knowership, that is a vikari. The chirabhasa, the reflection of consciousness, is a vikari. It modifies, it changes. The thoughts in your mind, says, I know this, I know that. The knowership continually changes. Now I'm knowing this, now I'm knowing that. Now I'm thinking about this, now I'm thinking about that. Now I'm aware of my emotions, now I'm aware of my physical affect. So that's the chirabhasa. So the knower, the ahankara there is continually identifying with the reflection of consciousness or with the mind, with the thoughts that are occurring in the mind. And so that chirabhasa, which goes on changing, 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 it is that one that the enjoyership must belong to. Because the chirabhasa is what is left. Now, to understand this, you have to go back, you know, several verses to where Vidyaranya was trying to, was setting up a situation of who really is the enjoyer. First he says, the enjoyer can the enjoyer be the Atma? Can the enjoyer means the perceiver of the world, the one who experiences the world? the enjoyer. Can the enjoyer be the Atma, the self? No, because the Atma is kutastha, is changeless. The Atma, which is Brahman, is changeless. So he went through that logic. Then the next thing, well, if it's not, can't be the kutastha, it can't be the kutastha Atma, which he'd already unfolded. So then he says, it must be the chidabhasa. It must be the reflection of consciousness. The reflection of consciousness is the buddhi. You know, the reflection of consciousness is the vijnana, means in the buddhi, the ahankara, the buddhi means the intellect. The mind says, with the I notion, it says, I am the conscious being and I am the knower of this and I am the knower of that. Right? And so what's happening there is the I notion is identifying with whatever thought, with the consciousness that's reflected in a given thought, because every thought is known to me. Right? Any thought I have, any emotion I have, it's an experience, it is known to me. And so then I say, the ahankara says, I am the knower of that. Right? So the ahankara identifies itself, it's called the hridaya granti, the knot of the heart. The ahankara, the I notion, identifies itself with the conscious aspect, the knownness of the vritti. So it becomes, it says, I am the conscious being who is the knower of the vritti. Because the vritti, the thought modification, is known, so somebody must be a knower of it. Right? And the thought modification totally enjoys consciousness. So the ahankara comes along and says, I am the knower of the known, right? When actually all that's there is known. The vritti is known. Consciousness in reality is not performing any act of knowing it, but consciousness is self-evident and self-effulgent. And so when the vritti is there, the vritti is known. When the vritti is gone, it's not known. But the self-evident knownness is always there. Self-evident consciousness is always there. So the vritti comes, self-evident consciousness. Plus the nama-rupa, the names and forms of the vritti. But the ahankara comes and says, I am the knower of the vritti. The ahankara also is known. Right? So this is kind of the grand illusion of things. So now, what happens? In the beginning, Vidyaranya says, the consciousness itself is not, can't perform any knowership. Because it is always just the same. It is kutastha. It's always consciousness. It never changes. So it's got to be the chitta, next thing. So it must be the chittabhasa, the reflection of consciousness. The reflection of consciousness must be the enjoyer. But then comes the problem of, yeah, but the reflection of consciousness can't stand alone. You can't have the buddhi, the consciousness of the buddhi, without consciousness. So if you took away the consciousness, the kutastha, the changeless consciousness from the buddhi, from the intellect, then it would be nothing. Right? So it can't be, the knower can't just be the reflection of consciousness. It can't, even though the chidabhasa is always changing, it also can't be just the kutastha. It has to be a combination of the two. So then he says, this is where we start as a jiva, as a samsari. I am a conscious being and I am a knower. That's everybody's experience. So the chidabhasa enjoying with the reality that it enjoys, the consciousness that it enjoys, is able to perceive and to experience the world. So this is where we start. Now we have to see who is really the self of this chidabhasa. And that's what all of this analysis, this Anvayavyatireka, has been doing. But so now in this verse, he says like this. So to start with, he says, when the truth is being inquired into in this manner, to find out the truth, who am I? Who really am I? Who is the truth of the enjoyer? Then we have the chidabhasa. We have to deal with the chidabhasa. Because the chitta, reflection of consciousness, is a vikari, it is modifying. And so the knowership has to go to that chidabhasa, right? It can't go to the Atma because the Atma is changeless. And so remember, you have to relate this back up to the Anvayavyatireka. The knowership belongs to the waking state, the dream state, the deep sleep state, not to the Atma, not to the Sakshi. And so the Chirabhasa has to belong to, you know, the waker, the buddhi. So accepting that, yes, it has to be the knowership has to belong, the enjoyership has to belong to the reflection of consciousness, to the buddhi. Let's do the next verse. Then, so what? Mayiko yam chirabhasaha. Mayiko yam chirabhasaha. Shrute anupavatapi. Shrute anupavatapi. Indrajalam jagat proktam. Indrajalam jagat proktam. Tadantav pachayam yataha. Tadantav pachayam yataha. Mayikaha ayam chirabhasaha. Shrutehe anubhavat api. Indrajalam jagat proktam. Tat antav pati ayam yataha. He says, but this chirabhasa, the chirabhasa, this buddhi, this reflect the mind, this mind, just call it mind. The chirabhasa, we'll call the mind the reflection of consciousness, buddhi. This chirabhasa is maya, is born of maya, mayikaha. It's only maya. He says, mayikaha ayam chirabhasa. This chirabhasa is maya. Shrutehe, because the shruti says so. Shrutehe, because of the shruti, this is how the shruti reveals it. And anubhavat, also, and from your experience. How? How is it maya? So from the shruti and from your experience, indrajalam jagat proktam, from the shruti, this jagat, this whole creation is revealed as maya. Indrajalam means maya. It means Indra's net, which is maya, right? So this whole creation, this jagat proktam is said to be maya by the shruti, right? And what else? If this whole creation is revealed as maya, I'll tell you why it's maya in a minute. But if this whole creation is revealed to be maya, like a magic show, like magic, the whole creation is revealed and told to be maya and is experienced as maya, then the buddhi, the mind, is also maya because it exists within that, antapuri, antapati. This body, mind, sense organs exist within this world, which is maya. The dream character exists within the dream, which is maya. And so, because this world is maya, and this body, mind, sense organs exists in this world, then this also must be maya because it's included in it. Just like in the dream is maya, the body, mind, sense organs, the knower, in the dream, is part of the dream, and so it can't be any less maya than the dream. Okay? So this is just one verse in a series. Let me just do a couple on this, and then we'll either go on. If I take me too long, I want to go on to it next week. When we say something is maya, from the Shruti, what do we mean? That which comes into manifestation, the whole creation that comes into manifestation, is sustained and resolves. The whole Maya, the Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, they talk about the whole unveiling of the creation. But what makes it Maya? Why do we call it Maya, this creation? Because it's Mithya. Mithya, its order of reality, the order of reality of this creation is Mithya. Mithya is only an order of reality. Mithya means that which cannot be defined as existing in all three periods of time, like Satyam, nor can you say it's non-existing. You can't give any type of real existence to this world. Why? Why can't you give real existence to this world? Why is it called Mithya? That it has only a dependent reality. It doesn't have any reality of its own. In fact, in Sanskrit, we say it's sadasadbhyam anivachaniya. Sadasadbhyam anivachaniya. It means anivachaniya means it can't be categorized as sat. Sat means that which exists in all three periods of time, past, present, or future. That which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. That is sat. That is reality. That's Brahman. That's kutastha, that which is absolutely changeless. That's the nature of the Atma, of consciousness itself. Tucham, the other order of reality, is that which doesn't exist at all, like the horn of a rabbit, or a son of a barren woman, or a city in the clouds. That's totally non-existent. We don't even have to worry about that. It's not there for us to worry about. But here we have this creation. This creation is not satyam. It's not real. Because it comes into being and goes out of being. Everything is momentary. Everything comes into being and goes out of being. That means it's bordered by non-existence. If it's bordered by non-existence, it doesn't have any substance of its own. And yet there is no experience in this creation that is free of such chit. Every experience, let's put it like this, every experience exists. It is. But the experience comes and goes, the is remains. Right? The experience comes into being, goes out of being, but the is remains to be the self of the next experience. The existence of the next experience. The existence is the constant. And from my own standpoint, the existence, the sat-chit, is the constant. You can just use existence. But existence is consciousness. It never wavers at all. And so what does that mean? All of this creation enjoys existence as long as it is here. So existence is the self upon which the experience is dependent. The existence is the reality upon which the experiences are dependent. Because the existence doesn't belong to any experience. Because all experience comes into being and goes out of being. It's non-existent. It's non-existent on either side. If it can go out of being, it no longer is. And yet, as long as it is here, it enjoys being. So the being is the satyam, the mitya. All of the experiences are the mitya. The experiences which make up this creation totally depend upon being for their reality. If you take the existence away, then there is no experience. But you can't give the existence to the experiences because the experiences come and go. And yet, as long as an experience is there, it enjoys existence. So that's the satyam. The existence never goes. And that's the absolute reality. Paramartika satyam. The absolute reality is the existence that never comes and goes. This world depends upon that existence which never comes and goes. The world depends upon the satyam. Existence, being. For its being. It has no being of its own. Its being is the changeless being, which is the satyam. And so that's why we say this world is a magic show. It's maya. Yama iti maya. That which is not is maya. Because it has no being of its own. So we say this is maya. It depends on the sat, on existence being, on sat chit. Now, that being so, and there's no exception, this whole nature of the creation. That being so, what about the waker? This body, mind, sense organs. Is it sat? You know? Or is it maya? It has to be maya. Because everything in the body comes and goes, it is subject to change. The sense organs are subject to change. The mind, the thoughts are subject to change. They are part of the jagat. They're part of the world. They exist within the world. They are as maya, as much maya, as the world. Just like the dream character in the dream is of the same order of reality as the dream. This body, mind, sense organs is of the same order of reality as the waking state. And so it's antapati, patin, that which falls into, inside of. Anta means inside. So antah pati from patin, that which is falling inside. This chidabhasa, the mind, the sense organs, the body, the reflection of consciousness, falls inside this creation. And so it is as much Maya as the rest of the creation. And that's why in the Anvaya Vyatireka, you know, the jiva, it's not only the individual enjoyer and the enjoyment, the subject and the object, the seer and the seen, the knower and the known, within the waking state is negated. The enjoyer is negated in the waking state. The enjoyer is negated in the dream state. The enjoyer is negated in the deep sleep state. It doesn't need to be negated. In the deep sleep state, the mind is resolved. There is no enjoyer. Right? There's no subject-object there. All that is left is the sakshi, which is not a knower. Never a knower. But is the very aparoksha, self-evident being, the me, that is the truth of all three of them. And that's why I never experience any weirdness as I go from waking to dream to deep sleep, even though those states totally negate each other. I never experience any weirdness because there is no change in the reality of those three states. I am the reality. And the reality is not touched in any way. So I never experience even a shred of change or a whiff of alteration. I remain exactly as I am, as I do in every experience in each one of those states. So just take the waking state, I am always the same. I never alter in any way. The experiences do. The emotions do. The thoughts do. The perceptions do. The sensations do. But the one who is present to all of them is all continually untouched. Absolutely untouched. That's the Satyam Nitya. And that's what this Anvaya Vyatireka is unfolding. So, let's stop there. I do. How many did I do?
Three.
Four.
Three. Three. Not that it was. Okay, let's take a look. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Vidyaranyaka was saying that it's not Chidabhasa, and then the Ankara will say it's the knower. And then how will you negate that?
The Chidabhasa, because the Chidabhasa is the knower. Right? See, in the when you do the Anvaya Vyatireka, in the waking state, there's the knower.
Okay.
That requires the mind and the sense organs, but that's all included within
waking world.
Okay.
When you go into the dream, that knower is not there. Now you have another dream body. And in that dream body becomes the knower.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And then in the deep sleep, there is no knower. So the Atma is not a knower. The Atma is consciousness. And you require an upadhi, like the mind and the sense organs, to be a knower.
You know, I don't like this word, but I'm going to say it this way anyway. You know, experiencing consciousness is very obvious to me, but it takes a kind of a leap to see it as existence.
Just say, does consciousness exist or not?
Yes, it does.
That's all. You might as well say, you could say consciousness is existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it exists. Nothing else exists. Not really, because everything else is bordered by non-existence. What actually exists has to be changeless. Right? Because if something actually exists, it can't go into non-existence. So if it is bordered, if it comes from non-existence and goes into non-existence, nothing's actually come. Right? There's no thing there. Because nothing can come from non-existence. So they're all... Because nothing's there for it to come from. So nothing can come from non-existence. And so if something has come into being, that thing is mitya. It's dependent on something which is for its reality. You can, just in Vyavahara, in empirical reality, you can say, like when we use the clay pot example, the pot has no prior existence. The pot maker makes a pot. Before the pot maker made the pot, there was no pot, right? So the pot has come into being, and then the pot maker could squash that pot and start over again. Now the pot's gone. So the pot never had any being, really. It is mithya. It's dependent on something else, which is the clay. From within the box of that example, the clay is the satyam. The clay didn't come into being. It was the very being that was there, the clay that was there. Right? And so the pot is dependent. If you were to pull the clay out, what's actually there away, there is no pot. So what is the satyam of this? All of these names and forms, what is actually here? If you were to pull it away, it wouldn't be here. And that is the sat.
So to look at my own life, after all these years, the only reality, the only existence has been this consciousness, and all of my thoughts and my personality has changed throughout all this time.
But consciousness hasn't.
And that's the same that goes for now, too. I mean, 20 years from now, I can look back and say...
Billion years from now.
Or billions.
Endless. Because consciousness is not bound by time. There's no time. So the conscious being that you are is timeless. So from the standpoint of Maya, if you were to go back, you know, billions of years within Maya, where there is time within the creation, the consciousness that is right now is the consciousness that is there, because consciousness doesn't change. Does it grow old? Does it modify?
Mm. Yeah, I can sense that.
Yeah, you can sense it, actually. That's why old people say, you know, I'm trapped in this old body now, but I'm the same one that, you know, was 20 and then 30 and 40. I'm the same me.
But not the same personality, not the same psychological makeup.
No, but the same self.
The same self.
In fact, it's kind of neat to remember yourself as a child, you know. To remember the person, the me that was there in that little mind and body, you know. Wow, somebody's pretty active here. You know that that Haiti, if you're on your cell phone, if you dial 90999 Haiti, gives $10. I do that every now and then on this. They did, with just out of that, they just took 3 million meals to Haiti just from that 90999. It's a really great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea because everybody can afford $10 here and there. So there must be huge numbers of people doing that. So, neat idea.
Sweet.
I think that's what my, that's what that was about. Because they give kind of an update on what's going on.
My little neighbor girls had a bake sale today for Haiti.
Yeah. That's cute. Yeah.
Carol, the knower is in a sense, because I don't do really understand this at all. In a sense, the knower, like to say I'm a knower, that's kind of the ahankara, right? Mm-hmm. Connecting or identifying with consciousness, yeah?
Well, remember that knowership involves duality, right? Mm-hmm. If you know, you have to be a knower of something.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so actually what's happening is that there's a vritti.
Yeah.
And now the vritti has for its truth, itself, consciousness.
Yeah.
So any vritti has consciousness, this atma,
yeah,
plus name and form.
Yeah.
Right? So the what the ahankara does is identify with the consciousness aspect.
Yeah.
I am the one who is conscious of,
right,
the names and forms in the vritti.
Right?
Right? And so it creates a knower. In
yeah.
It. Right. It there is no real knower there.
Yeah, that's
there's the vritti which is known,
yeah,
and then the consciousness comes and says, "Well, I am the conscious being that, you know, is aware of the vritti."
Maybe
and
maybe
well, the ahankara comes and says, "I am the conscious being who is aware of the,
yeah,
of whatever in the thought modification," yeah, and so this knowership is created where actually there's only the manifestation of knowledge.
But then, what about the jiva? Isn't the jiva the knower?
Well, when you we're actually breaking down the reality of the knower,
okay,
the, you know, mm, and the, and to look inside of the knower and see if there really a knower there.
So then, can I say there's no jiva?
There is no jiva separate from atma. The jiva, that idea.
Then the jiva is created by the ahankara.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The self, the jiva, has a self, right?
Yeah.
That
I
self
have
is. The, but the, who's the self of the jiva? Atma. There is no separate self. There's only one atma.
So then the knowership itself is jiva. Can I say that? No.
Well, that's problematic because then you're, because when we say jiva, you're saying the jiva is the, the body, mind, sense organs, limited atma person.
Okay.
Yes. So I could say, I am a jiva. Then is there an I am which is separate from atma? No. Yeah. And so the jiva is a product of ignorance. There is no real jiva. You know, there's a real self, but there's not a limited jiva. So the limited jiva is a product of ajnanam, it's a product of ignorance, that causes the ahankara to say, I am the jiva, instead of I am the whole. Because the truth is I am the whole. The truth is I am Ishvara, not that I am the jiva. You know? But you can say, well, there's the jiva tvam is there. There's a body, a mind, sense organs, knowership, knownness, all of this. That's true, but it's mitya. And the self that it enjoys is only the atma. This me, the me, when you say me and myself, that is me. There's only one of us. There's only one atma. And so your sense of, that's why you know everybody absolutely intimately, because who they are, their I is you. There's only one I. Even with, you know, Tibby or with a flower, or with the animals, all beings. There's only one I. And each one of the chitabhasa, the reflection of consciousness, is each sukshma sharira, each subtle body, you know, as though owning, the ahankar owning, because they as though reflect consciousness, they, you know, because of the subtle, because of the sattva, they reflect consciousness, and each ahankara says, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being, where actually there's just one me illumining, you know, an infinite number of mirrors, an infinite number of subtle bodies. But each subtle body says, I am the self, I am the self, I am the self. Just like it's easy to understand in the dream or an imagination, each dream character says, I am the self, I am the self, I am the self. But really there's one Ishwara, there's one dream that is a manifestation of one self. There's one story, and that story, that dream story, is a manifestation of the Atma, which is one. So this universe is a manifestation of the one self, right? And so I, in fact, am this, the whole. But each jiva will say, you know, this world is different from me, and I am an individual. So that is a product of Ajnanam. Because actually, every individual is part and parcel of Ishwar, like every wave is part and parcel of the ocean. Belongs completely, all the laws, the order of all of the waves, the existence of the waves, the order, the laws that hold it all together, that's all the ocean. There's only ocean there, really. But the wave says, you know, I am the wave and you are the ocean, and I am different from you, and I have to make my own way. Whereas in reality, there's just one story going on here, which includes all of the complexity of the jivas. But the complexity of all of the different lives and the interrelationship of all of the different lives of the jivas are all the complexity of Ishwara. There's not an inert creation with a bunch of little pockets of consciousness running around in it. There's one infinite manifestation of infinite knowledge, which includes this all the stories that exist within the infinite knowledge. It's all part of one, it's all one story. And so for Jnani, even the Gita has some nice verses about this. You know, you relax. The Jnani will kind of relax and take the things that come. Because you're not searching for ananda anymore, because you've recognized it as your own nature. And so you're just responding to the Ishwara story. You're living out Ishwara's story and taking what comes to you. Yadrichaya is the verse, Yadrichaya, by chance. As it comes to you, that's what you enjoy. And in fact, that is the truth of your life. It's just, you're banging your head against the wall and struggling, trying to make things happen. But really, what happens is what is Ishwara, is Ishwara's story. And then you're either happy or disappointed, depending upon what you've projected upon Ishwara. You know, when Ishwara's story is unfolding, you also have, because of Ajnanam, you have your own projection on top of it. You know, if it unfolds this way, if it happens this way, of course you don't think of it as Ishwara unfolding, but you think, you know, if it goes this way, then I will be happy, and if it goes this way, I'll be so unhappy. You know, and so we're all in knots, you know, worrying about what's going to go on, whereas a Vijnani will just kind of relax and see how Ishwara is unfolding, because not doing this projection, it has to be this way in order for me to be happy. And then we have the jnani, the jiva, the samsari, who doesn't have knowledge, will have catastrophic thinking, because after all, it's kind of an inert creation. God's up there somewhere looking down, who knows. It's an inert creation, and I'm just this little bubble of consciousness, and I can think of all of the terrible things that could happen to me, you know. Because terrible things do happen. They do. Terrible things do happen.
Well, how could, then it's, that's the story.
That is the story. And you're playing your part in that story. you know, what you could say is, what one thing that, but you know, this, but to me this is actually very, very, this one thing is very soothing, because it's not like the creation is always kind. I mean, everybody dies. There are catastrophes. That's the very nature of the creation, you know. But there is death within an order. Your death or your life is part of a bigger picture. It's not as though there's a inert creation and a little jiva trying to work its way through the creation. Your life and your death is part of a greater story, you know, that includes death. The story includes death. It includes everything. But it's not just, it's not you, it's the story. And that's your part in it. I find, somehow I find that,
yeah,
that soothing.
It was helpful.
I was going to say something else and it slipped my mind. Well, may never come again.
The conscious mind versus the mind, the dream,
yeah,
mind, with the conscious mind,
it's hooked
the senses
in
are operative.
That's the difference. In the waking state, it's the mind is functioning through the sense organs, and with the sense organs. In the dream state, it's not. So.
Then how is the deep sleep state seen as still the self?
Well, the self is illumining the deep sleep state. It's just that the mind is in unmanifest condition at that time, but the me is still there. And me is not a knower. Consciousness is not a knower. But my presence is still there. And then when that same mind that is in unmanifest comes out to the waking state or the dream state, say the waking state, then you can describe your prior experience.
You can say, I slept well.
I slept well, and this is what it's like, and all of that.
Yeah.
But when you're asleep, there's no time passing. Right? Because there's no marking of time. So from your standpoint, there's no marking of time, right? Because you need to have a subject object. You need duality to mark time.
You know, when you say illumine, I always expect that. Oh, sorry. The witness illumines. I always expect some kind of shine with illumination.
Well, that's right. Because like if you say the sun shines, or we use these words like, self-effulgent, even. These are words that are related to the sun. But the ultimate sun is awareness, because of awareness, everything is known. But it's not the sun like the physical sun, but the physical sun illumines, right, the world.
Mm-hmm.
But awareness lights up, or illumines, makes known all thoughts. But you have to make a jump there between, you don't want to bring the sun inside of you. But there's a relationship between the fact that the sun illumines, I illumine. That's different than saying the sun illumines and I the sun illumine. It's not two suns that are illumined, but that's what's similar, is that the sun makes everything known to the eyes. And awareness, which is not the sun, but it's because of awareness that everything is known. Right? It's because of awareness even the sun is known.
So that knownness is sort of illumination.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we got blessed again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we follow the note?